Welcome back to the Trios Podcast with myself, Walshy. And today we've got a rare one. We caught a wild abnormal sleep.
What's going on? Yeah, man, I'm good. You?
Yeah, man. So, just quickly, I don't really want to talk about much. How's COVID been, bro? You're finding it hard, you're struggling. I've been struggling the last few weeks.
Do you know what? When it first started, I was struggling. Mad. The struggle was real, innit? I had to close the studio for a bit and I was inactive, but it was a well-deserved break. It was just in the middle of a time where I was mad active, but
when
more time. Do you know what it is? It's been phases though, innit?
Yeah.
It's been phases because it's been up and down, but if I'm going to be honest, during COVID, last year, I had a massive come up as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a weird one. COVID's been it's been beneficial in ways, but it's also been hard in many more ways. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we was doing all right at the start of COVID. We was doing the Insta lives and that.
Yeah.
And that was getting a lot. We got quite a bit of traction off that. So,
so
yeah, anyway. Born COVID.
COVID.
Obviously, people who don't know, Abnormal Sleeps is sick artist from Manchester. Also, producer, engineer. He's do you know who you remind me of, bro? You know, American Russ.
He goes,
produce, mix, master, write.
And he lists it all.
The only thing, literally, bro, you do everything. So, obviously, predominantly, though, initially, you came in as an artist. So, what was your inspirations getting into music? Was it a certain artist or have you always been musical?
Well, I've kind of always been musical in a sense. The thing is, I started DJing same time I started writing, innit?
Right, okay.
I probably started DJing first.
Yeah?
Yeah, because these times... I was writing bars. These times, obviously, growing up in Mosside, I was there and then... From my side, I lived in Levenjune for a bit.
Yeah.
And then at that point, that's when I was so you see Tap D and that.
Yeah.
They were my people. He was my older, who I used to look up to, chill around.
He used to do stuff with Meanie, innit? I remember the One Extra stuff with Meanie and things like that.
Carnage Clan and that.
That
was when, this was before high school, when I started barring. I had this mad funny name and that.
What was it?
It was something something mad Maestro or something, you get me? Yeah. I used to spit my little bars, you get me? Because I loved grime. My older sister, she was heavy on music.
She used to
go to all the raves because that was in her time.
Yeah.
She used to go to all the Sidewinders.
Sidewinder, things like that.
Yeah, man. And obviously my dad was a DJ as well. Well, he's a DJ. So with all those things combined, it was just one of them where I just ended up started writing lyrics outside my gaff. Then we moved back to Mosside. Started high school. It continued in high school, obviously.
What high school did you go to?
Trinity. And that was just that had. To be honest, I don't know many schools that could level Trinity in terms of talent.
Yeah, not just music.
No offense,
Danny Welbeck.
A few people went there. Fabian Brandy. You know what I mean? Misha B. Few people. Obviously, I was continuing doing my thing in school, but at the same time, when we moved back to Mosside, my dad started teaching me to DJ on vinyl. You get me?
Old school, Dex.
Yeah, man, that was my first experience with it, and then from a very young age, you're talking 13, 12, I was going to parties with my dad DJing.
Yeah.
And trying to do my own thing.
When your dad got a booking or whatever, you'd go.
To parties, 60ths, marriages and that, weddings and stuff. He'd have me on there and just be play one or two tunes, because I used to be shy, you get me?
Got to start somewhere,
trust me, and that's what put me on the party circuit. So me and DJ K, and him, we used to be a partnership. This is back in the day, in the hood when no one had equipment. We had all the equipment, you get me?
Okay.
So we were doing all the house parties.
Yeah.
And then that developed into
back
to back, because we had the equipment, we could do it. We were doing private hires anyway with my dad. And at that time, nobody our age was doing that.
What year was this?
This was when we were young, I'm talking we must have been 15, 16.
So early ones.
Earlier than that. 14s, defo, year 9 I was doing parties, you get me?
Mad.
Year 8 I was probably still doing little parties with my dad. year 9, year 10 was when I started to be a bit more independent, and me and DJK started doing parties,
doing your own thing without your dad and stuff. Yeah,
and then obviously through school it went hand in hand, didn't it? So I was DJing on one hand, doing parties, making my little bread on the side,
and then
on the other hand I was writing lyrics. I was on, I self-taught myself a lot of stuff from early, because back then we didn't have the resources or places
like
to
you
go
couldn't
to.
Just go on YouTube and how to video.
Do you know what I mean? There weren't no YouTube. Yeah, it was like more time. It was like youth club. You go there and use the computers there. Because my dad was like a tech nerd. He loved all these little bits. I had like a computer in my gaff, and I'd use like Cool Edit Pro to make my own mashups. And
right, okay. Is that beats then, making your own beats?
Yeah. So before it was like producing on Fruity Loops and that, it was Cool Edit Pro, where we'd use like the old school computer mics, try and record our own songs and make beats like out of beats. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
No, like back in the day, like the bass line, garage days, I used to make mashups and like chop up a track. That's what it was. And then it was, right, lyrics. Then I was rapping when it weren't really cool to rap. And to where we are now. Literally everything went hand in hand in a weird way.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it sounds like you was just like, it was just all natural. Like you say, your sister and your dad around you and that sort of, like you've grown into it. So with that being said, who in, like, obviously you mentioned a few people already, like Tap D and DJK, but like who in Manchester was like an influence for you, like, or who you was around and thought, right, he's sick, what like be at that level type thing?
Who was there around? Do you know what? It was a lot of my peers, a lot of people that were my age, my veterans that I was around with. They were also doing mad stuff for their age, innit? Like, you look at, for example, Piddy, you get me? That's my bro.
Yeah.
But he's been doing the bassline thing from Wade. Yeah. And I'm talking when we were in year nines and that.
Yeah.
I was doing my little house party on the block. My man was in the raves, you get me? My man was going to Leeds and hoods and all this. DJing in the raves at that age, 14s and that.
Mad.
And then coming back into school the next morning, like, yeah, just come back from the rave and that.
And he's still banging out like tunes and stuff.
That's what I mean.
Like, I like bassline music.
Right. So back then, bassline was a big thing for us. And he sort of was, for people that were my age, for someone in my year that was like, besides me, is my boy doing that. That was gas in itself.
Yeah.
You get me?
Yeah.
So seeing him go out and make money at that level, at the age he was,
underage, and then come school.
Was mad inspiring. But then you had like, in my school, you had people like Chunky. Chunky, I will say, besides Tap D, was the only other elder that seen something in me from early that said I would always be great. Facts. Yeah. You get me?
Shout out Chunky, because like, he knows what he's talking about.
In school, like, obviously he was what, maybe like a year or two older. No, about two, maybe 3 years. I don't really know.
Yeah,
but
a little bit older than you.
When he was in, when he was in them older, like, we'd have circles where we used to spit bars in the corridors and whatever.
Yeah.
I'd come through my little bottle cap glasses, you get me? Spit my little bar, people get hyped, you get me? But he used to always root for me. Bring sleeps through, you get me? Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
After school, we'd sit on the bus on the way home. He'd be on the back of the bus with all the youngers, and he'd be telling man, like, yo, you get me? Encouraging man. Keep on your thing.
Yeah.
And then even after school, like, I remember I'd seen years ago, I don't know if you remember this, I seen him at a warehouse project.
Yeah.
And he pulled me up now, yeah. This was years ago. And he says, yo, he says, Sleeps, look around you. I was like, yeah. He's like, look. He says, this is the Matrix and you're Neo. I'll never, ever, ever forget that, bro. That's a story I will tell till I'm whatever, like, age. Like, I remember that, and it didn't actually leave. You get me?
Yeah, sick.
So my man was like, because he always believed in me like that. I was like, you know what? Like, yeah,
you've held on to that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if you're talking, like, people that I work, even, like, because I was working in Longsight for a bit at a studio. My first job when I left school was at a studio in Longsight, where I was running sessions. Like you mentioned, like Fimo and K Rico and that, these times I'd forgot that they were in the sessions that I was in, but I was mad young in it. So I've left school 16, we're running projects and stuff, and these projects you had like people my age and people younger.
Right.
Now they're like maybe a year or two or more younger than me, so them times they were young. But they were in sessions with man, and I was recording them, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's mad.
And I've, like, the both steps come to me, and like when we've caught up of recent, have been like, yo, Do you remember them? And I was like, oh, rah, like, you remember in them sessions, sick. Yeah. And it makes you think, yo, it's been a hot minute. So back when I was doing that, I was like, Roller was working in there as well.
Who, sorry, Roller?
Roller. Yeah. So it was good to be around him and, like, Burger. You know, yeah. Burger Boy, like, he used to come in and out of the studios. I didn't know him personally, but...
Yeah.
We knew each other.
Used to love Burger Boy back in the day.
And you see, back in the day when he was on his... Yeah, bro. On a Mazza, like...
bro.
It was mad to see him come in the studio and just... He'd disappear for a bit in one of the smaller studios, make a banger or a couple slaps and just leave, you get me?
Yeah.
And you'd hear what he'd create and you'd be like, rah, what is this guy on? Like, different tech.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Obviously, you have your MCs and that, like your Manchester MCs, you know, your old school ones, the man them from my side, like your Floss Molders and your, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I'm living on the estate these times in the middle of it all.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing all these men around me, like, bar up, getting gassed up off the lyrics them, and, you know, but as far as money goes, yeah, I think it was just more like the local MCs and the people
and people around you. Because I can relate to that, because you can kind of, like, see it, like you said, with Pilly. He's going, yous all chill, like, from school times.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting off while yous are doing whatever, and then he's coming back, up in school the next day, and he's like, yo. So that's got to, like you say, it's got to be mad inspiring.
Mm.
So with like your music and stuff now, bro, obviously you make a lot of beats as well, and like you engineer for other artists and that. So the question is, like, do you do that for your own stuff now, or do you feel like, because you do it for so many people, does it become too much where you want someone else to sort of handle that for you? Like, how does that process work for you and your music?
It's a mixture, you know, because it's like, obviously, naturally, as like an artist, producer, engineer, like, I like to do my own stuff, you get me? I do my own shit and I make sure, like, my thing's patterned. But the problem you get when you get caught in the trap of doing that, it's like you're only ever used to that one thing. So it's in the past year that I've started to try and branch out to people more so younger engineers and producers, not even so much engineers, because I'm mad picky with my engineering.
Yeah.
And I know I'm running a studio, so I've got a certain sound and level of quality that I protect in it. So when it comes to engineering, I'm funny about other people mixing my stuff, period. Do you get me? When it comes to producing, there's like certain like younger producers and people that are on the come up that will shout me for like advice and stuff, and they'll be the people that I'll get to come in studio, and it allow me to be like an artist for a sec, because
and let them lend an ear to you.
Yeah, because you know what it is, when you're working from the same seat that you're trying to be creative from, it's difficult, bro.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's like finding the time as well. Whereas sometimes you just need to get someone in, and when you get that producer in and you collaborate, I'll let them sit on the desk and I'll just sit on my couch and that, and I'll just be like, yeah man, I can be artist for a bit, I'm just gonna relax, build me Zuggy, burn me Zoot, take my time, I don't have to look at a screen.
Yeah,
it just helps my writing, innit?
I hear that, because I, with lockdown and working from home, I obviously have an office job, so I'm working from home, got a little desk set up, and then like I'm finishing that, and then I'm doing an artwork or content creation for the page, and then I'm like, oh, I can't click, because I've been sat here since 9 o'clock till half five, 6 o'clock, and it's now 7:30 and I'm trying to get creative.
This is it.
I got my man wanted an artwork and I'm like, yo, what is wrong? I feel like, yo, am I broken or something? Like,
but then
it took me a while to figure out it's because I'm sat here, or get up, change the location, I'm flying. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I hear that, it's a good shout, and it's a good thing, because I always wondered, with, because obviously you make music for everyone, you engineer for pretty much everyone, like our playlist is either engineered by you, produced by you, performed by you, even recently backing vocals by you, which we'll get on to as well. So like who did you go to, like, before? Obviously, like you said, you can do it all yourself now, but I gather you've not been able to do it yourself the whole
Nah.
Who did you use? Was it 2-4-K you used to go
to? Yeah, 2-Straight. I had, I've been at my current spot for about a year, and then the previous studio was at for 2 years. So I've only had my own studio for about 3 years. Right. Now, if you look at that in musical terms and my era, like, it's not very long. It's pretty late. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, pretty late, considering I'm not going to say my age, but it's getting some time.
Hold it down.
But, like, it's pretty late, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And prior to that, it was before I moved on to doing my own stuff in studio. It was 24K. This was before he was, because we were at Islington Mill, both of us.
Yeah, that's the one I've been to, innit?
He was like, for me, the first one in there.
Right.
So he was a reason I went there first. But before that, he had his studio at his yard on Quinney, you get me? He lives round the corner from me.
Right, okay.
You know what I'm saying? So we're on the block anyway.
Yeah.
And more time. He was one of the, engineer-wise and mixing-wise, he was like one of the main people I looked to for inspiration. And that sort of guided me to sort of find my own sound.
And the knowledge and things like that. I knew
his quality was 10/10.
Yeah.
You get me? We would link up anyway on like Mandem vibes, whatever, but it was like Meditate 2 was when I really started to invest in myself. Prior to that, I was lucky because I got to use things like Contact Theatre, and I had like the guy I was working with prior to that, he had his own little home set up, so we would do bits in there. But when I started to take myself absolutely seriously and I needed to take it to that next step, that was when I was recording with Twos hard, like Meditate 2, the whole thing recorded there. That was recorded in his house, you get me?
Yeah.
And then from there it was like obviously Islington Mill until I got my own studio. So he was like, for me, even still now, there's only certain people I let touch my vocal. Unless it's something I have to send off, and that's him. I trust Tech with my vocal.
Lie Tech,
There's a couple people. There's a couple people.
Yeah. I just wondered, innit? Because I know what you're like, and
I'm protective of that.
With your like sound and that, bro, like what is like your sound or your favorite sound? Because we've had like for his example, we had RJ on in the first episode, and he's like predominantly a grime artist, but he dips his toe in other bits. Fimo had said himself that he's still sort of trying to figure out and find his sound.
Yeah,
like with you, I can't really put your sound in a box. So what
if you're looking like a straightforward answer to what my favorite sound is, I don't have one.
Right, okay.
But it's because my influence is in sound. So if you think about how my come up was, it was like my dad and that was musical, so when I'm growing up they're listening to a lot of like reggae, soul, Lovers Rock, Motown. All that was installed in me, and I liked that stuff. I was having to play it at like 60ths and that, you know what I mean. And then you've got like my sister who was into grime heavy. I was into grime heavy. She went to all the raves, had all the stories, flipping. She used to sit when before CD and that, when we had tape deck.
The side one.
Westwood, he used to have his show.
Yeah.
These are the times of like the Rough Riders albums and that. We used to sit down, she'd sit me down in front of the radio, and we used to tape his set, you get me?
Yeah.
So when you think about all this stuff, it was like, I liked everything. I loved R&B as well. Loved it.
Like 90s R&B.
I couldn't choose a sound I loved. I love to rap. But when you say rap now, it's like, technically when you're MCing, that is rapping, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I put it all in a bubble. I don't separate it because it's all rap at different tempos.
Yeah.
I just know I like to express myself on varied vibes.
Yeah.
It keeps me versatile, and it's not because I just want to do everything. It's because I genuinely love all types of music, bro. Yeah. So,
and I think that shows anyway when through the music, it comes through that, like, you're not just jumping on this to do that, you're not just jumping on that to do that. Like, when you like the kaleidoscope, when you take that body of working, it's not really the same type of music all the way through.
Nah.
It's a bit different, it's a bit choppy, but it's sick, you get me? Like, you can listen to that, and it's a proper body of work. So, and like I say, it pulls through in the music, like, you can tell that. You're a music man. You love music. It's not like you're a rapper or you're this or you're that. You're a music man, innit?
Yeah, man. Straight up. Like, I wouldn't have it any other way either. It's just one of them where you have to find a balance. It was hard. I think it was hard for me to like harness and find the sound I actually wanted to do until I started producing. Because when you talk about sound now, sound isn't actually a genre. Everyone has a sound, and it doesn't have to be restricted to one.
Yeah.
So when we talk about my sound, people will be able to recognize when I've produced a record.
Yeah.
Whether it be a grime, hip hop, pop, dance, whatever it is, people that are around me will be like, yeah, I can tell, like, you, I can hear your vibe. So as long as I've got my mark,
yeah,
but you can hear me in my sound, it just becomes one of its own.
Yeah,
it just hasn't got a name.
You just left your print.
You just call it sleeps.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
So obviously we just touched on it then, bro. Kaleidoscope.
Mm-hmm.
What a fucking album that is, bro. Like, let's be real. Bro, I still listen to it now. Like, and I'll open my iTunes and show you the numbers. I play count. Like, I run it.
Yeah,
up.
Man.
Respect. I've got the No Freestyle sticker on the back of the laptop.
As well. Cold.
Man
cold.
Was about then. I got one. I didn't get the textures one though.
Oh, that was fire stuff.
Nah, it was stiff. Because I know this textures one. If anyone out there has got a texture sticker, hit the DMs. I'll buy it off you. But I got the North Freestyle one, so obviously that my tune anyway. Yeah. So I'm happy with that. Yeah, and I got the little Zeds, the sleep thing, because I was at the show and that. So I just wanted to talk about the album and, like, because it's so sick, bro. And even though it was 2019, it come out. We're in 2021 now.
It's crazy that,
bro. I've been researching, is that I found, like, I know I've been in your studio, the one at Islington Mill. You're talking about. You've shown me music in the past that's not come out. Keep the cameraman, we was at the studio once and you said use my like grime in it.
Yeah.
We're like, yeah. And you put an absolute wobbler on, bro. Like, nearly blew up the studio, and I've not heard it since. Like, and you probably don't even remember the tune, but like
defo.
Keith's getting gas behind the camera. Like, he was like, yo. He asked me every night, I sleeps about that tune, man. But I know you set on music, that's my point. I've drifted a bit there, but yeah, you set on music a bit. And like, one thing that I found, bro, I don't know if you've even clocked this, but you done a vlog when you went to Amsterdam with Farrell to do the Northern Quarter contract signing.
Yeah.
And you done like a 2-3 minute vlog. And the audio on that vlog is PYE, Protect Your Energy, the tune. So even sleep don't know, you get me? So yeah, what it is, so there's a, that video, the vlog from when you went down was February 2018. The album didn't come out till September 2018. You get me? So
nah, like, that's not true. I give you
so
that.
I'm thinking so when I'm doing the research, like, a lot of, like, bro, I'm a fan of yours, innit? A lot of the guys you're going to see on here I'm fans of, so I know your stuff anyway. But I like to go back and refresh my memory because that's quick math so still. And I've looked, and I'm like, the videos come on and I've started singing Protect Your Energy. And I'm like, wait a minute, because your hair's a lot shorter in the vlog, so I'm thinking, don't make sense. So I've scrolled down and it says Feb 18 and I'm thinking, Kaleidoscope was definitely 2000, so I've gone on iTunes, checked September 2000, so I'm like, right, he's definitely got something here. So like, what, how long was you sat on the album for, bro? And like, what else are you sat on? That's nuts.
That's a funny story. So like, it's mad when you put timelines on like a lot of the music I put out, and that they've got so much time behind them. Like with Kaleidoscope, that was a weird one, because when I originally spoke to Lensman about doing the project, we'd already done some collaborations for the label, innit?
Right, okay.
And at that time, we were going to do a joint project. And at the time, I was just beast mode. At that time, I was just in my own head. I weren't interested in nothing, nobody, no gal, no now. It was just me in the studio.
Yeah.
So I was making a lot of music. I went through a lot during that time. So that's why, like, that project's pretty moody, innit? It's proper, like, intense,
yeah, that's the word I was gonna use, intense.
A lot of the music comes from different times, like most of it's old work. When I went to see Lensman the first time and we were speaking about the project, I already had a folder full of tracks.
PYE included.
There was like a full folder full of tunes, and there was like ideas, fully done tunes, and most of them didn't even make the cut. This is what I'm saying, like, revisited them, but there was a folder full of tunes. So when I went to him, because he was a fan of me anyway, I went to Dam and I played him through that folder.
Right, okay.
So that vlog you see, in the time we sat down in his studio, I just went through all the music that I had and sat down with him, played him some. He loved all the music.
Yeah.
So then it was a case of me choosing what fitted where, do you know what I mean? So that's why some of them tracks will be like, yo, you know what I mean? Like 2018, like, one of the oldest tracks on there two of the oldest tracks on there. One, Textures.
Yeah.
Because what we got to remember is Textures I released independently on SoundCloud, and I couldn't get the sample cleared in it, so I was scared of putting it up proper thing. So Textures, he wanted to re-release, he loved it so much. So that probably was out already like at least a year or two before we put out an album.
Yeah, man, missed that one.
That's probably like 2016, 17, Textures. When you think about that, that's crazy.
When did you do the video for that? Did you do the video around the album time?
Yeah, I thought so. Because I got the budget from the label and we done the big video. Nuts
as well.
Thank you, bro.
Nuts.
Coming Home.
Yeah.
That is probably the oldest track on that project.
Yeah.
That is old. Like, that track is old.
Was that one of the ones you played to Lensman and he was
obviously yeah, he was feeling loved them all, it. But like, that was one of the tracks he really loved.
Yeah, and
I almost wanted to take it off because it was the first time I'd properly sang on track.
Right, okay.
And let people know that I'd done like little vocals. That was the first track I ever experimented and done like a full track singing, and I was like shook to put it out.
Do you get me?
But that was like the oldest track. That was a track I made like probably in my first year of moving into the studio.
Yeah.
So yeah, the gaps between like all that music was like quite substantial, not gonna lie.
Because I thought so, because obviously I know you and you've shown me bits and stuff in the studio, so I know what you're like. But then when I was reset, I thought, yeah, PYE in 2018, come on. So yeah, obviously we've touched on it as well, bro, is like, is Medicave. Like, I really want to speak to you about Medicave because the sounds and the talent and the visuals, the press release, like everything that's coming out of there is certy, bro.
Thank you, bro.
And I just want to apologize to Kennedy as well, because on the Picasso episode, he sent me a press release privately, like before the podcast and things like that. And I assumed that he'd done it. Because he wanted me to read it.
Yeah,
he was like, to be fair, I probably didn't pay much attention to his message, sort of thing, just on a quick one. Send it over.
And I just assumed.
So when we was on the podcast with Picasso, I was like, oh yeah, you done the press release yourself, didn't you? And he was like, no, it was Kennedy. He didn't take credit for her out, but Kennedy, if you're watching, apologies.
It was through
Medicave. So if you want a press release, hit up Medicave.
That's it.
But yeah, so obviously you've got like, how, obviously we've touched, like, you are an artist, you release albums and music yourself. So how do you manage being an artist plus running a studio, but not just a studio, like a very successful studio that does a lot of work with a lot of artists, whether they're big or not, and also the other little bits that you do, because does Farrell do pictures through there, like tell us about that, bro.
Currently going through like expansion in it, so
to bring it back a bit,
Medicave's my baby in it.
Yeah,
it like ended up being far more than I imagined.
Yeah.
A lot quicker than I imagined.
Yeah.
Just to give a bit of hindsight, prior to that, obviously in Salford when I was in Islington Mill, I was running sessions, but sort of behind closed doors. I weren't really promoting it like that because I was so caught up in making my own stuff.
Yeah.
This is the first 2 years I've had like my own studio, so right now I'm just going for it. I'm just making loads of rhythm. I'm just in there 24.
Yeah.
Then, because me and Hamdi shared it, big up HMD, we were sort of working on us. I think it was like a certain time in life where there was a lot going on, and then I just basically done sessions to try and pay my bills in it, my rent, my half of the rent for the room. I just wanted to get sessions in, and then I think when we left and I got the new studio on my own, it was one of them where I knew I had the skill. It's something that I've been doing from young anyway, engineering, which a lot of people didn't know. And I thought, you know what? I want to do this music thing full time, but when you look at music, when you've got such a broad set of skills, you can't just look at, oh, my artist, so the only way I'm going to do this full time is by being an artist and being on stage.
Yeah.
It was like, right now, I need to get to this money, I need to pay my bills, and I want my production to be everywhere, because I've, over time, my production started to get better and better, and I was just like, all right, I produce a lot for me, let's try and do it for some people.
I think you've achieved that, though.
Let me give back. Like, I feel like I'm still progressing, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I hear that, and I can see it as well, but you are literally, I've got a list here, bro, you're everywhere, like, the names on the list, like you produce for Scarlito. Obviously, I think you've done, I'm trying to think, I think apart from Turtle Race, you've done all of his recent releases. Is that right?
Yeah, he's got a.
And I know, yeah, I know he's got, I know he's got more coming. Like he, I seen he posted something the other day. So shout out Scarlito, but
majority I know, like, of the stuff, yeah,
yeah, there's like the 1% was one that you done, yeah. And then the did you do Writing Bars as well? His new one?
No,
no,
I might have.
I know you produced 1%.
I don't even know if I recorded it. I know you do so 1%. Much. I think.
Yeah, yeah, I know you done 1%.
Turtle Race 1%.
Oh, did you do Turtle Race? Yeah.
Is what it is. Yeah, that was me.
Oh right, sorry, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then obviously you've done a bit with Kaydon as well, like.
Yeah, we've got loads.
What's he like? Because he's a sick artist.
We've got records. We've got hit records there. That's all I can say. I know. Okay. Like I know he's got records. When he come back out of jail, we were just. That's when, because my younger cousin sort of chills with him. That's his Cody. Obviously, we sort of knew of each other because we're coming from the ends, but didn't know each other personally. So, after we come out, we got intro. They need a studio to work proper, and I'm a man of. Like with the studio, it's not just about recording people, getting them in and out. It's more so I can give back, I can develop, help develop people, I can help them see another angle of this music where quality really does matter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And as an artist producer, not a producer producer, I can help them in ways that just a producer producer can't. Do you know what I mean? So it was like with Kaydon, that was a sick one because we just clicked straight away.
Cradle to the Grave, that one, innit? The tune
we done Cradle to the Grave, yeah, and that same, so when he first come out we were hitting studio like twice a week,
yeah,
like consecutively,
yeah.
And he, the first day he come, he was supposed to bring beats from Twos. At the time he didn't have the beats, and then we were just like, oh, and I was like, all right, I'll just wait.
Okay.
And that's how Cradle to the Grave got me. That was our first interaction.
Yeah, that's sick.
And that was
sick.
Our first session.
It's a banger. No cap. Well.
We made that from scratch on the spot the first time we ever met each other.
That is mad.
You get me? And that was a new style for me. You know what I'm saying?
Well, this is why I brought Kaydon up specifically, because he's on that like that wave trap type thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've not really seen you do that.
Well, do you know I've what? Seen
you might have missed one, but predominantly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Predominantly. Really, yeah. And you know what, it's mad because like with him, we've got like in terms of the amount of tracks we have, we're in double figures, innit?
Mad.
But he's just taking his time to sort of see what he wants, because he's working with various people and whatever, but we've got like a whole tape's worth of material, and even more so some of it's like with certain good features, big features that we've managed to pull into the studio.
Yeah,
some vibes are outside of his comfort. But that's where, you know, we needed to build a trust with each other, where I'm in charge of the production, sometimes you need to challenge the people you're working with.
Push them.
And I respect you a lot more because you're trying to get the best out of them, you know?
Yeah,
and
that's
what we did. So there's a couple records that you think, rah, Kaydon. And it's like, yo.
Okay, then.
Swear down, like, he's got a batch of summer heaters, he's got, like, some, like, semi-drilly shit, you know what I mean? He's got some trap shit, he's got some pain shit, he's got some, you know what I mean? So
yeah
man,
looking
like,
forward to that. Shout out Kaydon, you want to come on the podcast, man. My G, shout out, man.
Yeah man.
But so one artist that I do want to ask you about, bro, obviously you're working with like Ragoloco and and like did you produce Merck's So?
Yeah,
you produced that, innit?
Yeah.
It's whenever I hear that noise, man. That noise. Yeah. Wake up.
Yeah, man. Some of my boys didn't even know that was me until recent.
That's mad.
And they've heard bare tunes like, yo, that's you. I'm like, yeah, man. Like,
yeah, yeah. So, like, but one that you done recently was the Deluxe. Is it Deluxe?
Yeah.
Fresh Prince of the Hill.
Yeah.
I banged that tune, you know. Like, my man's come out of nowhere to me. Anyway, he might have been about whatever.
Yeah.
But he's just popped up. We followed him on the culture. We got onto him through Medicaid sharing the Fresh Prince or whatever.
Yeah,
we playlisted
that.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, I playlist that. I listen to the playlist, so I know what's going on. And I'm like, yo, that's. I have the THC mix, and then I have my 2021 playlist, and some tunes from the THC mix make it over in it.
Yeah.
My personal listening, and that's one of them. Like, what's he like, bro? Like, is it? And how did you get onto him? Because he's from, like, obviously he's Cheetah Mills, North.
Yeah. Do you know what it is? Like, I've come across a few new people that I've never met before, and he was one of them. The first time we ever worked, it was a case where I can't even remember how he got onto me, but it was just a case where he knew of me or someone would have recommended.
Yeah.
And he was like, yo, I want to get back in, getting back on my music. At this time, he hadn't done music for like a year or something, he was saying.
Yeah.
And he come to the studio and we just partnered up. At first, it was just recording over, you know, beats he had and him getting his confidence back and
getting
some tracks ready. So it was calm, like, you know, just to mix with someone else from a different part of Manchester.
Yeah, that's
that
why
didn't
I
really
asking.
Know me from nothing, or probably not even my music and that. But you know, he had to run off the vibes that I'd shown him in the studio, and that was just from a place of, yo, I care about your music, innit?
Yeah.
You know, the sessions went well, and then like with everyone, over time, if you don't know me, it's like we build up a confidence, and then they get to the point where they all hear like something I produce someone and say, oh, you do production. I'm like, yeah, when you're ready,
no pressure,
we get in. And that was one of the tracks where we had a session, we got in from scratch, and it was like, yo, could you produce something? Funnily enough, I remixed, rejigged, and resampled a YouTube type beat that he had written it to, and
right,
I just flipped it on its head.
Yeah,
but made it, not to blow smoke up my own ass, but made it 10 times harder.
Yeah.
And I don't even really do the drill thing, but my style of drill, because these kids these days say, that's not drill, it's not got the woo 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 woo. You know what I mean? But like the element of drill and whatever, like,
yeah,
I don't tend to do it, but when I do it, it is like very unique, you know? And I feel like that tune, when we made that tune, for me, I was like, yo, for me, bro, like, that's the toughest.
Yeah, it's hard. This is what
of,
I'm saying.
Of
I'm
the
not
tunes we've
guy.
Recorded, I think, like, for me, that's my favourite of his. Not because I produced it, but I think it's tough.
Yeah, it is. It's hard. And like I say, the reason I brought it up is, one, because he's from a different side of money.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know how that come about. And two, like, he's hard, bro. Like, and it's not, again, it's not really your, like, we've discovered you obviously don't have a sound. You have whatever, but it's not really your
predominant
thing, is it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it is sick that you can do that as well.
Yeah,
to
man.
Credit to yourself that you can step out of whatever and
got to be able to.
Yeah.
That's one thing I learned from DJing, being able to be versatile for different crowds.
Yeah.
Otherwise I wouldn't get the opportunities I did. Say for example, I might play a party in the hood, but then I might have to go play like a 18th for a posh kid in flipping
Wilmslow or something.
Ermston or something.
Yeah.
Like, I was doing proms and that. Do you know what I mean? Like, on a mad one. Like,
yo, if you had sleeps at your prom, you had a good night, innit?
Trust me, man. And that translated to the music. So it was like, if I'm running a business now, where the business mind comes into it and the business ethic, it's like, I've got to be able to deliver not everything, because not everything I do will be for everyone.
Yeah.
And I can't just do everything for everyone. But I've got to be able to, you know what I mean, like, adjust myself to certain scenarios
and adapt,
you know,
take other things on. Yeah, I hear that. And you will grow as well as an artist.
Yeah, man, no doubt.
So yeah, what else have we got here? Yeah, so obviously a couple of the other tunes that you've done as well, bro, is like, obviously you done Ghetto Ragga Loco.
Yeah,
Ghetto, big tune. I done the artwork on that one.
Yeah, man, big up yourself. Yeah, man.
But yeah, that one come natural through your show.
Yeah.
So obviously you done the Kaleidoscope show. You had Children as Used there. They was on when I got there. I got there like early. They was on. Watched them. They were sick.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had I think HMD done a little set.
Yeah.
With Rome.
At Rome and Paddo.
Yeah. And then you come out, done some bits, and then you done like one or two, and then you brought Rags out.
Yeah.
And said,
yeah,
yo, this mid-set. Is some. You said like the music got cut, sort of thing. It's like, yo, Ragga Loco's coming out. Some of that produced by yourself.
Yep.
Again, and then obviously like. Done at your studio and things like that, and then you just come out and you done Ghetto. And I was in the crowd, man. I'm a grime head, bro. Man was going off, like,
I loved that.
I got videos on my phone,
yeah.
And then I went home that night and I was like chilling and I thought, yo, that Ghetto tune was hard, it's unreleased. Man's gonna need an artwork for that, And I had the idea to do it like a nettle bag in it,
sick, so yeah. I remember the ideas, I hit
Rags up. And we went back and forth. There's a couple of ideas and that. Like, I mean, we settled and we done it and that. But that, again, is obviously that was a big tune for Ragga Loco.
Yeah, man.
And you produced that and, like, recorded that as well.
Yeah.
And that's, like, another big thing. And then since then, I feel like Ragga Loco's... I don't know if he was using predominantly your studio before that, but I feel like since then, he's not. I've not seen him anywhere else other than
To be honest, when we started, that was it. Like, I've knew Rags for years anyway, but when we got in the studio, I think we found like a vibe and like a synergy that worked for him. yeah. and for me. Obviously, yeah, he's got energy, trusted in my thing. Do you know what I mean? He's seen me grow. I've seen him grow.
Yeah.
And it was a thing where I feel like because he's so unique in his sound and style, he needed to harness that with someone that he could synergize with.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? So I think with that, like Ghetto was made in Islington Mill.
Yeah.
That was actually made when we were at Islington Mill time ago. We had the idea and I just knew it was tough. But these times it was on speakers where I couldn't really monitor myself properly, but it just sounded tough. The bass was slapping.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just like, yo.
Well, obviously I heard it live and it was right. nuts.
Like, and then we went to the when I moved studio, when I heard it there, it was obviously, it was a bit different because obviously I was on new equipment, new speakers and that. And I had to remaster it and I had a nightmare doing that because I was like, panicking, but. When we did it at the show and it was like weren't mixed or anything.
Got like 3 pull-ups.
I just knew it was like tough and we played it on the PA speakers, like it was slapping. I was like, yo. Yeah. And furthermore, like the one thing I took from that is like I demonstrated the power of music in it. Like yeah. we've come out on stage. Rags has come out in the middle of my set. Yeah, you gotta yeah, deep yeah. it.
This is what I'm saying.
There's people in that crowd that may not have even known who he was. You get me?
Yeah.
A lot of people would have, but we've showcased some music that they've never heard in their entire life.
Yeah.
And the minute that got played, it went off.
Yeah.
Got like the vibes was right immediately. Wheel people connected. People walked away like, yo, what was that track?
Yeah.
So it's, to me, it's like, yo, it proves that good music can put you in certain positions, especially when it's live, because you see and feel that energy, like,
yeah, yeah
in
yeah.
the flesh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like for me that was a sick thing, and I think it was sick for him as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sick. Like I was there, I thought it was sick.
Yeah, man. Like, and I feel like off the back of that, like I feel like we obviously done the video was brazy, and then we done crisscross again. Yeah. That for me, that's a special one.
That is so sick, that tune.
Special one, that.
Yeah.
That was on TV in Australia and all that. Like that's a special one.
Big tune. It is a big tune.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, big up Rags, man. Big up Rags.
Shout out Rags. He's been eluding me. Raggo, shout me, bro. He knows that I'm joking. But soon come. Raggo yeah. local episode pending.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so with your music, bro, your latest release, Sugar Fiend.
Yeah.
Obviously, I want to do a little bit on this because, one, again, it's a banger.
Yeah.
Do you produce?
Yeah,
standard. Obviously, you produced it. And then, obviously, the main thing I want to talk to you about, bro, is the video. Like, the video's not since it's come out. Thank you've dropped bro. A couple behind the scenes where mm-hmm. you're filming through candy floss and it's techie Madden. But like with all your videos as well, we touched on textures before, that was like set mm-hmm. in like, is it the 20s around that sort of era, like back in the day, or 40s, that
1950s
oh 50s 50s yeah.
It's a tough era. It's an era that people don't normally go for because it's a hard era to
yeah but I me personally I like that aesthetic, like
yep
man wearing suits, braces.
Yeah, man.
The car was sick.
Windrush era. You get yeah, me? Yeah, in yeah. Moss Side, where that shit was actually happening. Do you know yeah, what I mean?
Like you're on the red brick houses.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Moss Side proper.
Yeah, man.
But like your videos like are always sick. So like with Sugar Fiend, like where did the idea come from for that? Where did you get all the sweets from? Because I think you had help from, is it like a sweet company or something?
Shout out to Street Kings every time. I think with me now, what happens is, with all of my tracks and videos, the seed starts from my head. So I'll have an idea and I'll see a video and I'll be like, right, I know the ideas, but it's how I pull it off.
Right, okay.
And then I need that someone, being the producer of the video and the director, to make those ideas work and pull them together in it.
Who was that for Sugar Fiend? Who was that?
AIM Films. Right, so that's okay. like my boy Blackstone, Stephen, him and his team.
Right.
Like Dane, Nessaro, Capital SD, them lot, they did it.
Yeah, shout out to them because they've done a sick job, man.
Yeah, man.
It's a sick video.
Had to pull in like the team for this because since we shot Textures, I've always tried to keep the production value like proper, you get me, yeah. outside the box. And with this, it was like I had ideas. Obviously Steve had ideas. We come together, me, him and Dane, we're just listening through it, and then I just had certain scenes I could see in my head. I didn't want any I didn't want any story being told or anything with this one.
Just scenes.
All I knew is that I wanted to have fun. I needed colours to pop. I needed hell of a lot of sweeties.
Yeah.
I needed like some female energy in there. And I needed some wild shit to happen.
Willy Wonka.
Right? So at first, the Willy Wonka thing was even like...
Because that was the first clip I seen of it. And I was like, is he dressed as Willy
Wonka? And do you know what? The video could have... It could have rid off the back of the whole Willy Wonka thing, but it was a bit gimmicky. That wasn't the idea.
That's
why, of all the footage you've seen, there's only a little bit, because it was just a clean, fresh vibe. And that's why I went with like Steve and that, because they work and do all the stuff with like JD and stuff, and they do all that big adverts. So it's like that clean look, that's what I want. Right. So in my head, I already knew that I wanted them to shoot it, because I know that they can achieve that.
Yeah, they can get what you want.
Right. And then I was like, yo, I can just see like coloured backgrounds, and I want it to rain nerds. That's all I had in my head. I want it to rain nerds. That was like one of the main things.
You've done it though,
made that shit happen.
Yeah, with the see-through.
I was like, yo, what, I make it rain nerds, and I need a bath full of like sweeties, and we need to do all this stuff. We always made a cake out of my face and all that. I was gonna go in.
Yeah.
But considering like COVID and stuff, it just made it quite restricting.
Yeah.
And yeah, we just created the scenes, and then Steve had some ideas of how he's gonna make it work. The silk sheet stuff, the whatever, and then I remembered obviously Street Kings. I already knew of them. They're based in the ends, and he, and my guy, he had like all the American sweets and stuff and drinks that he ran through his business. So I hit him up and was like, "Yo, I'm looking to do this video, looking to get you involved. Use your sweeties and whatever as props. Pump some money into it, and obviously got a budget there.
Promote them,
you know what I mean? And it works hand in hand. So he gave us a load of sweeties. I went out and bought extras and little bits and bobs. Then we had things like the honey, and it was the small details that just made it.
Yeah.
Then I had my cousin style me, and then it was like pastel colours, the candy floss stuff.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because that bit where the guy's holding like the candy, like filming
and
through it.
Funny story, it was melting because obviously it was hot, all the lights and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And obviously candy floss in your hand, it goes dark. So we were trying to make it work. We had like an idea where we were gonna put it on fishing wire, but instead, then we stuck it around me, then it was melting on me, and then we had like this hole, and then I think someone held up the thing, and it was like, wait, we can film through the. So then he had the camera through the thing, and it created this mad thing, do you know what I mean? And when you see in the behind the scenes, you can see the piece, it was literally on its last legs ready to drop, you know what I mean? But
drop on the camera.
We made it work. Like, that was one of my favourite scenes, like the candy floss scene, the silk sheet scene.
Was this through your label, or is it independent?
Independent. Independent. This is what I'm showing people. Yeah, this is all independent. Like, I've done the project with North Quarter, and obviously I'm still affiliated with them, but everything I do at the moment is indie, you get
right
me? The budget, everything, all the money paid for it, that's coming out of my pocket.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
It's looking, the only reason I ask is because it's looking like a label,
it's looking video. Like a label video.
But I'm
trying to show people like you can have label can standard videos it. And achieve that if you just get past the block of, yo, I need to invest in myself, like that for me, I need my shit prim and proper regardless.
Yeah.
As long as I've got the funding to do it, or I can make it happen myself, I will, because it will pay back in the future years. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Yeah, man.
So then just lastly, bro, like to finish up on, what have you got coming? Like, what releases have you got coming? Do you know, just dead quick, did you do the backing vocals on A.O. Britain's new track?
Yeah,
seen that and I've skimmed past it.
Yeah, I'm singing on the background.
Is that you now? You literally, you list,
do you know
guy
what?
Does everything.
Because obviously, like with, for example, like A.O. and a few of the guys from North Quarters, not North Quarter.
Yeah, this, Lens, I was explaining this to keep before, one. It's a bit, it's a bit sticky.
I've been working with a couple of their artists, and like A.O.'s one of them, and we were recording that joint. He was recording at my studio. I mix mastered it, and at the time we were just vibing. It was like free flow. Yeah. And whilst he's doing things, I'm just like, naturally I sing melodies. This is the thing about being an artist engineer, because when you're doing this shit and you're an artist as well, when you're working with the artist, you can offer him like little bits and bobs, more so than, not saying producers, that like producers are very important, and engineers that do their job because they're very good at it. It just helps to be an artist, because then when I'm doing my little melodies and that, they might be like, oh, I like that, or can you do a little hook for me or whatever.
Yeah.
And then this, it was just like the ad-libs, I was just flowing over it, it was like, I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, you gotta do that. And the
woo, woo.
That little lad lived there, you get me? It just came out of just vibing.
Yeah.
So we just kept them on, and it was just like a vibe. Whatever it takes to make the record slap in it or bang, that's what I'm about. So
I was gonna say I was meant to mention that before and I skimmed over it, but that was sick when I seen that. I'm like, this guy literally does it.
Yeah, man. Just in the crevices.
Love that. So going forward, bro, what have you got coming this year? Are you gonna release anything? You concentrating more on the studio?
This year it's about having more fun with it and releasing. So as you've seen, like from last year, done the Isolation Part 2 and then I dropped Sugar Fiend. I've sort of lightheartedly told people that Meditate 3 is coming in it, but it's
what happened with Meditate 2, because I've got it on iTunes but it's like grayed out. Like,
long story, it's taken off order. It's still on Bandcamp,
right? So yeah, I'll put the links for his Bandcamp as
and
well
and SoundCloud, but it's not on the platforms, and it's a long story because basically at the time that went up it was only on Bandcamp and it done well on Bandcamp, and then it was like it was high in demand, so people were like, whatever, and I don't own the rights to the beats in it. I didn't own all the bits and bobs.
Fair enough.
So I was hesitant, but then I had someone put it up for me when I didn't know how to publish my own music. They put it up for me, and the mistake I made was not learning to do it myself, because that meant that that person, then I'd have to go to them to get the reports, and for it to stay up forever, it's running through their account. I don't have any control.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So it was like, either have that stuck there for life where I'm having to keep going back to this person who has nothing to do with the tape to that.
Yeah.
But all my earnings and stuff are going into their thing, and then I have to go through a middleman. It's like, I don't actually need to do that. So it's like, either do that or just pull it down. And for me, it was just like an executive decision. I got to pull that down.
Now, because I've got it, but obviously
I've
got Isolation Pack twice because I bought it, copped the thing from Bandcamp, copped it
properly. Love that, bro.
And then it come out on streaming platforms. So when you look at my thing now, one of them's got like five plays, six plays, blah blah blah, and then there's one that's got like 250 plays. I started listening to it and then it come out proper. But so what have you got coming this year?
So Meditate 3,
is that this year? You're seeing that on air now, the camera's on, you know.
Jeez. Like, that's why Sugar Fiend and that's drops, like another single's coming in a couple weeks. Like, I've got shit ready, like another video's dropping in a couple weeks.
Well, this is coming out not next week, the week after, so
time.
So if you're watching this now, just
So by this time we'll be like there in the next release, which is another different thing, you get me? It's different. Like, Sugar Fiend was like one of my favourite vibes, something I've been waiting to get out for time. But this next vibe is like, I flipped it on its head a bit, but it's different. It's getting it's got a feature, I'm not gonna say too much.
Okay.
But it's
Manny out of the Manchester artist.
Yeah, they are. They're Manchester, and it's
love that.
It's not someone expecting. It might be someone that might be a new introduction for a lot of people, but this guy's doing bits. I'm talking like outside of the spectrum, this guy's doing bits in like the alt world. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
you can tell me who it is when the camera goes off.
I got a single dropping then, and then I might give you another one beforehand. I've got a few like collaborations. I've done verses and tracks for a couple of producers that might drop in between, but
so there's stuff coming.
Meditate 3 should be here sooner than later.
Yeah, man, looking forward to that.
I'll tell you one thing, the project's done, innit? So
it's probably been done for about 3 years. Though, let's be honest.
To be honest, I had a version of it and then changed it, and then I scrapped it, and then I had to do a whole new one. And this was during lockdown. You get me? Like, I scrapped the idea and had to rejig, but I'm looking forward to this next tape. You get me? Give him another mixtape and then see where we go.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so that's it from us. Obviously, shout out to Abnormal Sleeps. Make sure you like and subscribe. Drop a comment. All that good stuff, and we'll put all Sleeps' links below the Bandcamp. We'll put the link for Medicave as well. If any artist out there in Manchester or surrounding areas and you want that A1 work, Sleeps is your guy, innit? So
if you're serious and you take yourself serious,
he's got house rules, you got to be serious. But yo, Sleeps, thank you,
bless, bro. Thank you, man. Love for having me, man.
Thank you.
Safe.